This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Okay, Pat, it's Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk, and another big win for the Gophers last night. Pat, they sit, so right now, the Gophers are 17-9. They're 8-7 in conference with a handful of conference games to go. They're a lot closer to being in the dance than we all probably thought like 3 months ago. We can put it that way.
I thought they said last night, though, they're still like 73rd or something like that. So you probably got to get, 40-ish to, I mean, sometimes they take teams on the way they're playing at the end. The trouble with saying they've won 17 is that the non-conference schedule was so awful. But that said, from a distance of Fort Myers, that seemed like the liveliest barn of the year that I've watched. Downstairs was pretty well full this time. And it went back a little further. And they actually showed some people sitting upstairs. I don't know what they called the crowd. But I think, Elijah Hawkins has the ability to drive me a little crazy once in a while when he has that 3-4 minute meltdown. Last night, he was terrific. That's the best game I've seen him play. I haven't seen them all, but in big games against Big Ten opponents, I thought that was the most consistently terrific that he played. Now, he's certainly been an asset for a team that has struggled with their guard play for a couple of years. But the interesting thing, in true Tom Thibodeau fashion,
yes,
Ben Johnson played seven guys last night. Oliver Joseph didn't get off the bench, and Einan didn't get off the bench. They only played seven guys, but they played really good. This time, the late game meltdown lasted 30 seconds instead of 3 minutes, so that was an improvement. Ohio State, for having those big guys and everything, it's terrible on the boards, though. The Gophers they beat them to every loose ball. They beat them to every contested rebound. They were a step quicker getting everywhere. The one kid, the guard, what's his name? He got 20-some. Second half, he lit it up. But, Ohio State's got some athletes, and Battle was terrific. And, shooting the ball. But the Gophers, again, what's really helped? The last two games, Pharrell Payne has been allowed to play his game without having tic-tac fouls called on him. And, when he's in there, he is. I thought Jess Settles, who was the TV guy, the former Iowa player.
Yeah.
Who had the problem of playing against the Gophers when they were good. He made a great reference to Pharrell Payne as being a throwback to Courtney James and John Thomas when they used to beat the crap out of him. And I'll never forget, some of the guys, John Thomas, 6'9", short for a center. But there were some guys in the Big Ten bigger than him that he just pummeled. And just by being physical. And Pharrell Payne is a throwback to Courtney James. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay. A couple things off this. So on Elijah Hawkins, you bring up the Tom Thibodeau reference. It is funny how we've just gotten, and he's been playing a lot of minutes throughout the whole season, but we've gotten to the point now where he's just going to play 40 minutes. So
he played
39. They gave him a huff. Yeah. I can't remember when they took him out, but he was out there for 39. He played all 40 against Rutgers in their previous win.
Yeah.
So then in their previous two wins before that, 39 and 38 minutes. So he's just going to play the whole game.
I tried to look that up immediately after the game, but the ESPN box score doesn't include minutes for colleges. So I didn't stay up late enough to wait for the Gophers to post the Big Ten box score so that I could see if he went all the way. But I couldn't recall him being off the court, but he was off the court for a minute. One thing, I know that, you know, they got four guards that can play. I would like to see Carrington play a little more. I think he's really good defensively.
Yeah.
He can hound the hell out of people. And he shot the ball okay the last 2 weeks or so. But, you know, who's to complain? I guess, you know, who was a little rattled last night when he missed his few shots, first few shots, was Christie. So we didn't see as much from him as we see most of the time. And you know, they are, you know, without that lousy non-conference schedule, they would have been better off, you know, going like 7-4 in the non-conference schedule and playing some real teams.
Mm-hmm. Their RPI would be higher, maybe. Yeah.
But I mean, he's obviously done more than save his job here. Maybe he gets himself you know, he's going into his last year. Maybe they give him two more years or something like that, an extension. You know, you don't have to give in the transfer portal era. You don't have to, the scam about they want to know I'm going to be there. Yeah. Is doesn't count as much, but I think a little vote of confidence here would do everybody well. Now, of course, you got to hope that the transfer people with money don't say, "Boy, that Pharrell Payne sure would look good at my power forward."
Well, I mean, Jameis, that happened with Jameson Battle, obviously, and this has been the year from hell for Ohio State. The students were on him, booing him terrible, for 2 hours last night.
Get used.
He's
to
getting
it,
paid more, so he's probably fine. But
supposedly he got a couple hundred grand for 1 year. What the? Who can blame him, right? Who can blame? Plus, he had no idea what he was walking into there. Nobody thought Ohio State was going to be this bad, and you can just see some things with them that how they get beat all those games. They just, even though they have some size up front, they, you know, as I said, they get beat to the ball all the time, and I don't think it's not necessarily because they're not trying. But here's the other thing: this Gopher team has really gotten a lot better during the course of a year, which is a good sign for the head coach and his assistants. I know, you know, we all know Dave Thorson from his De La Salle days and a great defensive coach. But from everything I hear, the other two assistants are really good too. Jenkins is supposed to be terrific. And he's also their ace recruiter. So he's got a good staff with him at this point, and hopefully he can keep that together too.
Looks like the Gophers are 63rd right now on the KenPom.
So they moved up a little run.
They're creeping.
I would imagine, right, Pat, probably what, maybe a couple tournament wins. If they're not going to, they're not going to win the Big Ten tournament, but probably stay the course here in the Big Ten schedule, win a couple tournament games, they maybe can sneak in one of those at-large bids.
Yeah, if they win at Nebraska, would move them way up. But Nebraska's been playing really good. That'll be tough sledding down there on the road. And Nebraska plays a lot like them, really hard notes. So that game we could be back in the 60s for that game.
They've got Nebraska on Sunday in Nebraska, then at number 12, Illinois is ranked number 12 right now. That's on Wednesday. Home against Penn State, home against Indiana, at Northwestern. None of these are gimmies, but I think, at Illinois, you're going to chalk it up to a loss. If they can get three out of five with like a big road win at Nebraska or something, and that gets you to 20 wins.
Yes.
It gets you, it assures you're above 500 in conference. And then you for sure win your first game in the Big Ten tournament. It makes it a conversation. It does make it a conversation.
It does. They'll be sitting there waiting to see what happens. And hopefully, you know, the tournament's here, which makes it even more fun. And as I've been saying all along, they had to win a quarterfinal game. Maybe not. It depends. You know, if they go down and beat Nebraska, they're in the tournament if they win the games they should the rest of the way. But because that'll jack them up. But it's amazing that we're in the conversation. I texted Dave Thorson way back in middle of December, and I said, you know, you guys are a lot better. You could win seven conference games. And I said, you know, considering you're predicted 14th for, you know, and you won two the year before. He said, I think we can win a whole lot more than seven. So a whole lot more than seven would be 11, right? Or something.
Well, they're at nine. They're at nine right now, and they're going to, well, they're at eight, I guess, after last night. The other thing, too, is, and I don't know if this hurts or helps them, it's one of the weirdest years in Big Ten basketball history in that you only have two ranked teams. Michigan and Ohio State are the bottom two teams in the conference. Meanwhile, you've got Nebraska and Northwestern in the top five in the conference. It's like the whole thing is just haywire.
Did you see what Illinois did the other night? 7-point lead with 36 seconds to go and lost at Penn State. And that guy, Brad Underwood, he seems to be a bit of a volatile gentleman. I would have, I think they could have, he might have painted the, you know, knocked the paint off the wall in the losing locker room after that one. Because he's one of those coaches. He's got a little Bobby Huggins in him, I think. Not quite as crazy as Bobby Huggins, but
Is Bob Huggins still coaching? Is he still
coaching? No, he got fired because of his last DWI. Remember?
That's right. Remember our old producer, Corey Roofs? He was covering, I think it was like the Elite Eight was in town, and he was working and stringing or something, and he was sitting right behind the West Virginia bench for 2.5 hours. He's like, the things that that guy says to teenage kids.
Well, oh my God. What I admired about him is he really built a good program in Cincinnati, and he did it with a zero graduation rate. That's what I like.
Proudly.
He never had graduated a scholarship player, which was pretty impressive. Nicky Van Exel and those guys. This was a professional operation. I'm so old, I remember him when the NIT was a big deal and was played in New York, all in New York, and he took West Virginia either to the finals or maybe they won it, as a dynamic guard with great quickness. And now you look at him.
You know, just a lug.
Yeah,
he's crazy. So, you're right. His last year was last year at West Virginia. He has 900 wins, man. Like since his Cincinnati was probably his best run, but
which is his average number of F bombs per game, 900, which is some something like that.
Yep.
But anyway, hey, I you know, Ben Johnson from the get go, he had no chance from the get go because everybody left and nobody gave him a chance. Nobody gave him a chance to stay or not. They all just transferred once Mashburn and some of those guys took off, and he ended up with zero veterans. And
is this a hot take? It is one of the most impressive coaching jobs in my life, 1985 on the last 3 years of literally nothing, like you said. And now they're flirting with an NCAA tournament bid.
Clem inherited a disaster. And, you know, there's, you know, obviously things were a couple other times they've inherited disasters, but nobody has inherited a situation where he had no players and he had to take guys from Lafayette and
no players and really no meaningful NIL fund to lure players.
Still doesn't, I don't think. Mm-hmm. We're still giving 90% of our NIL money to football, I believe. So, you know, because the Dinky Town Collective, I don't know what they're doing, but I haven't heard anything about them except for football. So, but they're going to, you know, this might get somebody. Now, supposedly the U's got a couple of guys working now in the NIL department to try to help out. And this should inspire some people to give them some money.
Yeah, I think, this should be on a poster somewhere, right?
Yeah.
They should be, you know what they should be doing? They should be handing out the donation bucket like you do on Sunday at church.
Can you do that?
Just going around Williams Arena?
Yeah, they should do that. Why not?
It can be cash or there can be like a QR code for Venmo. You know, you can Venmo however much you want.
Yes. To. I still haven't figured out Venmo, right, by the way. Everybody says, do you Venmo? No, I said, no,
it's great. We'll teach you.
Yeah, man, I don't want to be taught. I'd spend enough money the way it is without not having to have it when I buy something. So this morning at 6:30 a.m. our time, Eastern, I got in a car with Dave St. Peter and John Anderson, went down to the Naples, Minnesota Club, which is an outfit of, you know, transplants and winter people. It's been going on for 60 years. Used to be the Naples, Minnesota Men's Club. We enlivened, we changed that about 15 years ago, I guess.
You and Augusta National are the, not you, but Naples. Yeah,
a lot of old guys down there, old Gopher lovers. They get PJ down there every once in a while, and he packs it in, but they kind of use that for a fundraiser. But John Anderson was down there. And the other car, they had Atterbury, Perky, and Molitor. And they did a little three guys up front asking questions. Molitor, Perkins, they were both great. John was the celebrity, you know, everybody was honoring John. He got the standing O when he was introduced from there. They had 250, which was a big crowd for them. And it was very entertaining, a lot of fun. But on the trip back, John started telling some old-time stories that were pretty hilarious. I mean, this guy started as the head coach in 82 because George Thomas told Paul Gill, I can't do this job half-time anymore. I need to be full-time. John's first 4 years coaching baseball, he also had a full-time job at Emory Air Freight.
That's amazing.
From 82 to 85 and was making, I think he got up to 25 grand or no, he was making 15. And then when they made him head coach and he said, this is when recruiting started basically.
Yeah.
Cause you used to just, if you were a Minnesota kid, you went to the U, right? And they bumped him up to 25 in 86. So he then became a full-time coach, but the first 4 years, it was a part-time job.
That's amazing. Hey, who do we know who's taken over for him? Do we, is that set?
Don't know. I don't think they haven't even started. I heard him say, not today, but I heard him say that his suggestion was that they figure that out and bring in his successor to be on the coaching staff for a year. And to kind of, because of the transfer portal and because of the recruiting and how people swoop in and steal your players.
Right.
That if they knew who the next coach was, they, you know, he could start selling them immediately, but they, that would have added $12 to the baseball budget. So they didn't do that.
That's tough. Yeah. Yeah. Search through the couch cushions for the baseball budget.
Anyway, John was pretty funny. And,
did you and John then the rest of the time just criticize Dave and the cheap poll ads the rest of the car ride, or what was that?
No, I don't even think we asked him about it. I guess we asked him just a couple of questions. He's, as we were supposing yesterday, I think the TV question is a much tougher one for him than the payroll question as far as with the PEP. In fact, he was not asked about the payroll by any. They opened the mic to this room at 250. Nobody asked about payroll, but he was asked about the TV situation rather candidly.
And well, and now we have kind of, now we know the Diamondbacks came out yesterday with a $100 for the season and you can stream Diamondbacks games. So now we can start to do the math on, all right, so the Diamondbacks were getting $60 million a year, or maybe even more than that. The report I saw was from 3 years ago. They were getting $60 million a year in their Bally's deal that went kaput. So can they get 600,000 subscribers to pay $100? I mean, it's a math game for these ball clubs now.
Yeah, it is. And this is a team that, if you don't recall, went to the World Series. So the only other time there's been Diamondbacks fever was after 2001. And if that's the best they can do, then I don't, you know, here's the thing about the Twins not signing pitchers to a long-term contract. I think if they could sign a guy for 1 year, and I'm not talking 30, but 20, they would do it. But what they don't want is the 4-year deal where it's, 20, 25, 28, 32, because they have no idea how much TV money they're going to be bringing in next year. If they do, which, MLB when they said that when Provis came out and St. Peter kind of reaffirmed it, that we're going to have a streaming option, they were basically taking the word of MLB that this was going to be happening. And then MLB later said, no, it's not happening yet. Maybe 2025. But if MLB starts from scratch with this streaming thing next year, there's no way you're going to be getting, anything near the 52 you were getting or 55 or whatever it was.
But then you'd probably put, I think what the Diamondbacks did last year. Now, I will say this. MLB has the technological infrastructure and the Diamondbacks are tapping into it. Halfway through last year when their Bally's deal went kaput, MLB came in and said, we'll produce it, we'll distribute, we'll worry about a paywall next year. And then they put for the linear crowd, like the cable subscribers or the regular TV people, they just found a local broadcast partner, ABC affiliate. So I think the model is going to have to become a straight to consumer MLB packaged deal for $100 a year. And then it's a math game. Do 100,000 people sign up? That's 10 million. And then can you put your games on channel 45 or somewhere? And then how much ad revenue can you bring in off of?
Well,
just
they're
going
to try to get 10 million people around the country and split it up, except Nesson. Yep. Yes. The Dodgers, they're not all going to be in on it. You're not going to get, Nesson's not, I know Nesson is probably suffering some of the same problems as everybody else, and they aren't the absolute money-making machine they were, but they're still the Red Sox are still making a hell of a lot more money than anybody, than the other people, and the Dodgers obviously are making incredible money, and the Yankees, and they aren't going to be part of it, so you're going to get everybody, but the big glamour teams aren't going to be.
It'll be 20 teams, and they'll have some sort of revenue share between the 20 teams, right?
Yes. Yeah. And, somebody asked me this question today down at that thing, and I agreed with him. He said, when cable was dying, why didn't they start to worry about this 5-6 years ago? Time you looked at the stats, cable was losing 8% of its audience annually. You knew in 2018 that this was going south. And I kind of blame, I suppose you just ride it out and hope it lasts as long, but you got to start, you fix the game now. You got the clock.
Yeah.
And thing that I missed this. You can't block a base with a knee now on a steal or something like that. They've put this in, so you're not supposed to block a knee. And Rocco was talking about it yesterday, and he says they showed him examples, and it's supposed to be egregious, to do this before they call it, but there's no replay on this one.
Wow.
And I said, listen, let me give you my opinion, Rocco. These umpires are going to be in a contest to see who can call it first. That's your problem. When you come up with something like this, they want to show you this year's version of, what's the first baseman that tried to strip search Dan Bellino. He won't be able to wait. Calling it 8 times to become Mr. You blocked the base. I said, you can't trust them.
Yeah.
You can't trust the umpires. Don't remember when they first started, you can't block the plate, and they were reviewing the guy 25 feet. The guy was 25 feet from home, and somebody put his foot in front of the base, and they called him safe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's supposed to be dangerous when you drop your knee down in front of the base. Well, I've been doing it for 100 years, but you're trusting the umpire. Don't trust the umpires. I got friends, Tita, Jeff Nelson, great guys. They wouldn't do this, but there's 20 egos in the major league umpiring who won't be able to wait to call that, right?
100%. Yeah. And one more question for you, Pat. If you happen to be driving around Naples with baseball luminaries like John Anderson and Dave St. Peter, what car would you generally recommend driving around in baseball luminaries?
I would drive around in the same car that I did today with Dave St. Peter at the wheel. We had a Buick, and it wasn't an SUV, but it seemed like one. I guess it was an SUV. It was a medium-sized SUV.
Yeah.
Rode very smoothly. Even St. Pete, with us trying to distract him, did a great job driving this machine straight. And if you want to get yourself a fine SUV, you go to Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings. They got them all sizes, from the smaller one to the bigger one. If you're a hockey parent, obviously you're going to go for either the mid-size or the large size, because you're all crazy about how much equipment you want to throw in the back of this thing. But you know, they'll make you a good deal. Right now, interest rates are low. Inventory is in good shape at the Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings. Check them out. I do about every 2 years.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Pat. Well, enjoy your weekend in the fort. We got baseball finally. Baseball's back. Gophers and Twins tonight, and we'll recap with you next week.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. There he is. Royce Unchained here on Score North.